for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Sunday evening, September the 3rd, 2006. Jim Landry is the speaker of the evening teaching on the spirit of terrorism.
Amen and amen. You may be seated. It is a privilege to have Brother Jim Landry, who is a board member and has been for quite a while of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, to come and minister to us this evening.
Early this morning, I began sharing a little bit about how very fortunate I've been to have a mentor as my pastor and a number of mentors from around the country. So I've gathered a number of notes, some from the book that God put on my heart last year, writing about deliverance workers who serve independent from authority, and other notes that God had placed on my heart I'm going to share with you tonight. I think it was yesterday that Elder Knowles, Dr. Knowles, was sharing about the spies that had been sent to spy out the land. And in the 14th chapter, I believe it is, of Numbers, their evil report caused the people to be so dreadful, so frightful, that together the entire congregation of Israel were ready to throw out, thank you, Moses. I would have recognized when I'd done that. I think they got to a point where they wanted to discharge Moses, God's spokesman, God's leader, and Aaron, the priest, from their duties, and wanted to reappoint from within their ranks a captain. Well, I think throughout the scriptures you can find a number of instances where individuals and congregation wanted to undermine authority. There's one particular case in the 12th chapter of Numbers where Miriam and Aaron decided to challenge Moses concerning his wife. We don't hear God respond to that until they say it, God speaks to us too. And then God straightened them out. So there's okay for us to talk. I think it was okay for Miriam and her brother to talk to their younger sibling about his choice of marriage. We just want to know why you did it. But when they said, the Lord talked to us too. Then we find another example. Numbers just got a whole bunch of this. I guess it's Numbers. And where the Korites decided that Moses was taking too much responsibility. And they felt like that. But not only that, the most influential individuals in the group, 250 leaders from the congregation, the Bible says men of renown. In other words, great influence. And it ultimately led to their deaths. Nothing could be more intolerant, nasty to the nostrils of God, is to have a worker, a deliverance worker, a man and woman of God, poison congregational individuals against leadership. Well, so tonight, I want to share a little bit about the spirit of terrorism. And I have a number of writings and tapes on the subject because the Lord has really been pressing on my heart about the importance of authority the last couple of years. So hopefully in this evening's message, we will all get convicted, repent, and be exhorted by God to continue our ministries as God would have us to do. Amen? We are living in times of wars and rumors of wars, where nations are rising up against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms. And one of the strategies Satan is doing is establishing an operation globally where he's recruiting a small group of martyrs, betrayed martyrs, I might say, referred to the terrorists in order to undermine authority in the world. These terrorists are simply tools of Satan. The real war that's taking place, God's kingdom against Satan's kingdom. And God is raising up a disciplined group of accountable soldiers who will fight, who will be obedient. That's what God is raising up. So you're not an accident. You're not here by accident. Your ministries are not an accident. But how many of you joined? I think every one of us were drafted. All I remember the first time, my wife was telling me some things, but I remember her falling on the floor, and this lady was looking like a snake, and my wife was down there, and I didn't have any fear either. I just didn't know what was happening. But she had been telling me for like a couple of weeks, Jim, people have demons. My pastor had been teaching this. I don't, just right over my head. You know, I'm so busy about trying to establish my ministry. So everyone that I know just about were drafted. I'm a little conscious and observant of those who can't wait to get to the battle. Volunteers. I don't know. Anyway, terrorism is really nothing new to the Christians, for the enemy has been kidnapping, murdering, and ransoming God's people since the beginning of humanity. Satan's ransom of humanity is targeted at God for throwing him out of heaven, where he had delegated authority. Incidentally, about authority, I heard Doc mention something in the 2 o'clock service. We have authority where we have responsibility. Where we don't have responsibility, we don't have authority. I'm not going to cover this too much tonight, but you might find it in a booklet. I don't go at another man's house and tell him how to run his business, nor do I get uncomfortable about how his business is run, because the devil finds nothing in me in that area. I probably got a few years he can find something. Thank the Lord for delivering. So if it rains on your parade, what someone else is doing, then get your parade checked out. Satan held each of us ransom at one time. We were prisoners of war. In fact, we were at peace with our enemy, but our enemy has never been at peace with us. We were MIAs, you might say, missing in action. I don't know. We still got a lot that are absent without leave, too. Draft dodges in the spirit. I'm just glad he saved me. I hope that you are the same. And Jesus paid the debt. Jesus has delivered us from captivity. Jesus has set the captives free. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. I am just so humbled that God having mercy upon me. Because of all the people I know, I don't know, after reading about Paul, it was kind of suspect. But of all the people I know, I did not deserve salvation. And so you won't hear me, I hope, talk about the little sins. I will always promote the big sins. I will exceed your imagination on sins, because I know how big my God is in delivering me from my rebellion. Isn't it something how natural and the spiritual terrorists occurring around the country are committed to serve? I mean, they have a commitment. They are very obedient to their command, their command sources, even unto the death, the lake of fire. The devil ain't stopping. We take out, have a break to have water or something. The natural and spiritual terrorists, they understand the importance of submitting to their authorities. What power the church would gain when it also understands these principles? The Westerners, dwellers of the democratic nations of America and Europe, are some of the most resistant people to truly hearing the word of God. Let me explain. It is hard to understand kingdom principles with a democratic mindset. Democracy is fine for the nations of the world, but we must remember that the kingdom of God is what it is, a kingdom. Jesus is king. Jesus is Lord. And his kingdom is ruled by a king, and there are authorities with ranks of authority. And the word of God tells us to obey. The laws of God's kingdom are not superseded by or subject to popular opinion, voting, or the polls. If we attempt to live as believers with a cultural mindset towards authority, we will be at best ineffective and at worst positioned for self-destruction or danger. I believe this is a strategy of Satan in this season. I think this is global. To undermine authority and create a movement, a resistance against Christianity, or a resistance against Europe, America, Israel, or a resistance against the believer, to undermine this authority, he's establishing a movement of rebellion to authority throughout the world. Too often, if we don't agree with authority, we can challenge it through a complaint or a protest. Democratic mindset. After all, the government should be of the people, by the people, and for the people, right? This and other democratic mindsets have trickled down into Christianity and marched many believers and some deliverance workers down the path of self-rule destruction. We need to look at, in the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter, Matthew the 12th chapter, verse 22, let me share with you what Jesus has to say about this. Tonight's message on the spirit of terrorism, and throughout the message, I'm going to be challenging you to position yourself to be effective in this ministry. For all of you have been called to the work, and you all have different degrees of light and responsibility. But if you consistently stay faithful, stay attentive, and search, and learn, and stay undercover, you're going to be used. And a friend of mine called me from New York a few weeks ago. He said, well, Jim, I have to get you up in New York because I have someone that has this problem and they need this and that. I said, brother, I said, you've been coming to the camp. You've been a friend now for over 4 years. If God places you in a battle, he will equip you to win. Too often we cripple one another. Now, if he knew me as an attitude that judge authority, put down leadership, saying there's no church in the city to go to, I couldn't have gave him that kind of commission. He said, well, you're right, and hung up the phone. What kind of fruit are you giving? What are you sharing with your prayer groups? What are you sharing with your fellow ministers? Do you love your pastor? I love my pastor. Sometimes it's a very difficult distinction between him and my dad. A lot of issues that many leaders having today with authority and potential leaders is because they did have a problem with their earthly fathers. And those issues have never been resolved. And so when they rebel against leadership, they're really rebelling the fact they didn't have an earthly father there to discipline them or to they could count on, wasn't there to talk to them, divorce, dysfunctional family, whatever. You need to deal with that issue. So now you are in the ranks, and God has commissioned you in the gospel message, and part of the message now is deliverance. So I'm not going to say you're a deliverance minister, but you are a worker. And so you do some work in deliverance, you do some work in healing. So from time to time to now, I may refer to you as a deliverance worker, but it's just a temporary title. You're just God's work. You're a Christian. So for the sake of clarity, so you might find yourself in these verses, or hopefully you won't find yourself in these verses, I will refer to you as a deliverance worker. Matthew 12:22, the scripture says, then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spoke and saw, and all the people were amazed, and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doeth not cast out demons, but by Beelzebub, prince of the devils, or demons. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? Well, I'm sure he's probably building a number of kingdoms around the world today, simply off the prayers and the conversations of a lot of disgruntled workers. All right. I wouldn't go over there. I don't like him. You saw what she said? We need to grow up. You know, trust me, this comes from many years. I just thank God for my pastor because, I mean, he just led straight up. And I'm pastoring the church in another part of town, and I've been going to the services there for 19 years, and I could have easily said, I don't need to go back there, especially after he done rained on my parade. But I chose to obey. I chose this. This is a choice. You have to make choices. And you need to understand that accepting authority is not obeying what you've been asked to do. It's doing what you don't want to do. Obeying what you don't want to do. And the disobedience is the error of the character or the nature of this spirit or this beast. It's kind of like always got to ask the question like, well, do you mean I need to, are you trying to tell me I need to? It's not wrong with asking questions, but the objective of the question is to undermine the authority. If I, Jesus said, by Beelzebub, expel demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Now, we look at the culture mindset of the Pharisees. They were so deceived. After many years of self-rule and establishing their own righteousness, they could not even recognize the Son of God, the authority of God. Could not even recognize it. Their eyes and their ears were controlled by the God of this world. Now, the Pharisees attributed the works of Jesus to the devil. And that's what? Blasphemy. Unlike Pharisees, we cannot afford not to recognize authority. We can't afford that. Real submission is, well, real authority is to look to submit. You should, everywhere you go, you should be looking to submit. It is the most wonderful thing is to submit, because we were so rebellious before we got saved, we ought to be happy to submit. Not recognizing authority can cause us many problems. Judging God's leadership may cause an individual to attribute the works of that leader to the devil, which would be blasphemy. People, Jesus is our authority, or our example of delegated authority, to all believers, and the expelling of evil spirits is a kingdom's work of the Lord's church. God has commissioned you to do this work. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were professing followers of God also, and they did not recognize his son. Amen? They were totally ignorant of the authority of God. They did not recognize Jesus' delegated authority on earth. The Pharisees, being authorities, obviously were not submitted to authority. For if they had been properly submitted to God's authority, they would have recognized the authority of the Son. God's delegated authority is representative and not inherent, meaning that it does not live in us naturally. It does not exist in someone naturally or passed down through the generations or by birth. We ourselves do not have authority. However, we are here to represent and execute God's authority in the earth, the church, in our homes, and whenever possible, in society itself. We execute authority.
Okay.
As a minister, as a deliverance worker, commissioned with responsibility, you must guard yourselves from the pharisaical pride, spirits of pride in your ability. You must guard yourself. Ability separated from delegated authority will not produce other necessary fruit required to become a leader. Your fruit must be in equal measure. God wants every leader or potential leader to bear fruit in equal measure of authority, accountability. He's going to give you ability and responsibility. Four essential elements to becoming a leader for God. And they must all be in like measure. In the booklet, I speak about an example of someone who's doing some chores, delegated the responsibility of doing those chores, but in cutting the grass, they overlooked the trash and debris, even a leaky faucet 5 feet up, 10 feet away. And obviously that they have the ability to do the job. They have the authority been delegated by myself for them to take care of the grounds. They have the, they are accountable to do it, but they're not very responsible. They just want to do what they have to do and get out of there. And if you just do what you are required to do, then according to Luke the 17th chapter, that's just your reasonable service. Non-profit, not profitable. But when you do it beyond what you're asked to do, then you're a profitable servant. It's your choice. You can just try to make it on through here over the next 2 or 3 years or next 2 or 3 months. Just say, I'm just going to try to lay back here on low gear. Wait on God. And I'll tell you, the demons of passivity will try to rob you of everything. We must be delivered from the spirits of passivity. In Isaiah, and Doc was mentioning this the other day, in Isaiah the 14th chapter, we've had Isaiah 14th chapter at least 2 or 3 times in the last 24 to 48 hours, at least while I've been here. And in Isaiah the 14th chapter, verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weakens the nations, the people? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, angels of God, and I will sit also upon a mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, we've been going through these scriptures consistently. It's amazing how God will line his word upon line, precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little. So I just pray to be faithful to do my part tonight. And do not assume that I have pleaded my restoration in submission. Let's find the words for it. So kind of like I'm talking to you, but I'm still under one of my teachers at our church taught on it. I'm still under construction. Yeah, Carolyn taught on the spirit of construction. I'm still under construction too. So I know what I'm about to say is that, how in the world he gonna tell me something like that? Because if you think it's thick now, the demon's gonna really get mad in a few more minutes. He says in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Can you imagine that? Satan knows very well the authority of God, for he was once delegated responsibility by God, and Lucifer chose self-rule instead of submission to God's authority. He made a choice. He decided to serve independently and establish his own work. Uh-oh. I believe this is one of the satanic strategies he is using with the spirit of terrorism to undermine the authorities established by God in secular society and in the church. As commissioned soldiers, how will you engage the head of terrorism if you are not properly submitted to your head? I don't need to be, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I don't need to be under nobody. The Holy Ghost talked to me. Well, I tell you what, I done had a whole lot of ghosts talk to me. One time I went to my pastor, I say, it's about 12, 15 years. I say, Brother Dean, boy, I tell you what, we was having a good deliverance at the church the other day. I threw demons out. I sent them all down to Church of Chicken. And had dogs over there eating the bones. And he said, you're out of order, Jim. I said, ooh. He said, don't you ever do that again. And whatever else he told me, I'd never done that again. And but the dog man had to come get the dogs, obviously, you know, the demons got them. So, cool. Anyway, my head deacon at the church was a dog catcher. He lived in another city 15 miles away, but it ricocheted over there, and he lost his job. You know what he told me? He didn't know nothing about it. He walked up to me and said, Pastor Landry, you said that the Lord was going to promote me on that job. I said, yeah, Brother Van Wright, he is. I said, the Lord showed me that. I'm serious. That really happened. And it's on another tape somewhere, one of the teachings the last 5 years. But anyway, I repented. I broke the curses. I didn't tell him anything. And assistant manager of the city of Port Arthur restored him to his job, and he did retire supervisor.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.
Now, unless he's got one of these tapes, he's never heard that. That was my lesson. That was my lesson. So if I didn't have a mentor that loved me enough to correct me, well, I could have been under Burger King. I could have been under McDonald's. Wherever we wanted to meet at, I could have been under one of them. Or I could have been sending money to... Well, never mind. We'll get to that later. There are two principles... Excuse me. There are two authorities operating in the universe. The authority of God and the principle of satanic rebellion. Those are the only two authorities operating in the universe. If you are not accountable to God's delegated authorities, the possibility exists that the work is self-rule. Over the years, I've heard comments from independent workers such as, I'm a prophet. And I'm under no man. The Holy Ghost tell me everything. The Holy Ghost is my teacher. Brother Landry, I've been evangelizing for many years, and I have not found any work in my city worthy of submitting to. You don't know the love of a pastor. For the most part, most of these ministers were operating under the principle of satanic rebellion. Self-rule. Now, God desires that you grow and perhaps possess, and you may, this is in Psalms 119:94, I think. Some of you may receive more knowledge than the ancients, or than the seasons, or the leadership in a particular area. I welcome it where I pastor. I welcome having others on the staff that are studying child abuse and the occult and cults, and I have a general understanding of it all, but nowhere close to the depth that they have in their research. I welcome that. And so, you may grow and possess more knowledge in some doctrines such as healing and deliverance than the leaders in the churches you may attend. But the Lord doesn't intend for you to judge them or grow bitter to them because they didn't accept the message. I can't tell you how I would respond today if I was in some of your shoes going back to leadership, but I can tell you how I would respond today with the knowledge I know today. I submit. And when God say go, I wouldn't pull nobody else with me. I don't need no help to go when God say go. So I'm not going to say, hey, you seen what I said? I wouldn't listen to that. You heard that? I see you Friday night at our own private prayer meeting where we can lay hands and cast out devils. If you're doing it, you better repent, I'm telling you. This thing is dangerous.
Amen.
Without question, the Lord is raising up the ministry of deliverance in this season. However, he has not commissioned independent workers that serve separated from authority. You can't justify it scripturally. There are far too many mail order evangelists sending $100 and your license and you're protected undercover. But many of these offers place you in bed with the enemy and you're sleeping with him undercover. This is what you need in order to feel like you can do what you want to do because God called you to do what you have to do. That you just sent somebody something 1,000 miles away to be attached to him, high profile ministry. Show up once a year to have hands laid on you. Now you're free. I would never, ever trade my mentor. You don't have to know what I know on deliverance. Just love Jesus, love the Holy Spirit, pray for the sick. Somebody manifests, they come out. Don't have to have no idea what pigs and Paul is. Just know the basics of the doctrines. Preaching the end time, whatever he wants to preach, I can sit there and just love the pastor and receive his love and grow. Because no man can be an authority who is not submitted to authority. So don't tell me you can't go anywhere. I can stop pastoring today because it's not my job. It's God's business. I'm free. I'm so free. I had to move my plate so that I'd be loose to come up here because I have to check my flesh just like you. I said, God, this thing is bubbling so much in me. And I asked him last night, I was laying in the house, laying in the bed by 12. I said, what to do? He said, move the plate. I said, okay. Because I was just so fired up. I need to get this flesh under control, you know. He was right as usual. He was right. But your ministries might be more exciting than anything. And so it may have consumed you to the point where you've become judgmental against leadership. You're not going to grow with that kind of attitude. You may exist for a while, but soon the Lord's going to call you to deal with the issue. He's going to call you to deal with the issue. As a member called to war against terrorism in the spirit, are you properly aligned and submitted to authority? Are you covered? Many workers have themselves been so caught up in the battles, serving God's people, working with the souls of men, combined with the persecutions they've received from fellow believers, some persecutions and trials levied against them by leadership for their work and labor of love to help those that are abused, help those that are in captivity. They've been wounded so hard that it's caused them to be wounded against authority. Now, it's one thing to be accused, and you are right, and take it gracefully. But it's another thing when you see any authority, it's all stank. And some people, all you got to do is miss a pass. I know about that. And so you need to know the difference here. I don't like either one of them personally, but anyway, you need to at least know that difference if you're walking with that chip on your shoulder against all leadership. Because I love y'all, and I think you know that. But I have my days. I live open before our congregation and before you. If I'm not feeling well, hey, I'm all right, I need a little rest. I'm not feeling well. I mean, I don't hide anything. A person just like you. You know, I don't try to live a facade for nobody. I'm just so happy to be saved. That's all that matters. Ministry is just an extra thing. But everything is Jesus. Amen. That's the most important thing. I don't have to teach nothing else again. I don't have to impress nobody. I live a whole life trying to front. So it's over with now. I'm free. And so you're a little excited about the healing and deliverance ministry. All right, shift back in low gear for a season. Make sure you got your, all they call it in the world, the ducks in order, but make sure you got your accountability issues right. Make sure you got that right. Let's turn to Romans, the 13th chapter. Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the authorities, or higher powers, governing authorities through translations. For there is no authority but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, I have a lot to say about it in a little booklet on Strange Fire. As Christians, let me say this, particularly deliverance workers, each of you bear the responsibility of being submissive to the delegated authorities of God. No one can be an authority who has not faithfully submitted to authority. God alone established all authority from the throne room of God. All things are created through God's authority, and all the physical laws of the world are maintained by God's authority. The acts of God issue from His throne, and His throne is established on His authority. The question is, why would in one of God's most valuable ministries, the deliverance ministry, exist so much insubordination to authority? I've been doing this for quite a number of years, and I just heard too many people cop an attitude because somebody else didn't agree with them. I got a lot of people that don't agree with me. It's a lot of people do not agree with the Bible. So I'm in contention with a lot more. And so that's small fries. Anyway, that happened to my pastor. He was praying for somebody, and the demon rose up and said, you just small fries. And then he cast the demon out. And he drive up, large fries, small fries, and McDonald's. Well, I can tell you a lot of stories I've seen there, I tell you. Some of them are just grotesque. But anyway, amongst the healing and deliverance ministries can be found far too many independent workers who serve without order. Far too many. God's delegated authorities represent Him, and God has instituted authority and authorities, and He's holding each of us accountable to them. People, there is no accountability if there is no submission. If members of the deliverance and healing teams are not submitted to delegated authority, think about this for a minute. Then how can they be truly accountable and submitting to God? Because we have no accountability if there's no submission. If members of the deliverance and healing teams know that the enemy and the demons are present, and the demons are working zealously in their submission to Satan, and the demons understand the rankings and their chain of command, why we don't understand God's chain of command. Right. Satan's demons follow their master in a chain of command with several high-ranking generals that oversee them. These evil spirits will be obedient, even again, as I said earlier, to the lake of fire. I mean, they just resilient, just is on. Now, the importance of submission is very important. So why are there so many troopers, and I'm speaking to you and I, the troopers of God, serving independently and not accountable to God. Why? People to serve without order, to serve without obedience to authority is rebellion. And you would assume this type of treason would not be found amongst the deliverance workers. Very few workers that I've met over the years have true mentors. It's okay to also have, in addition to true mentors, spiritual fathers, individuals that you can call around the country, around the world, and be able to just open up and know that they're going to tell you what thus say the Lord, and not just flatter you. For a long time, I hardly said anything to anybody working under me. I don't know what they thought about me. Probably thought I was a tyrant. And now I'll say a few things, you know, but I hardly don't say too much. You might assume I do, but I don't because I just don't have too much room for flattery. But anyway, in Matthew, the 7th chapter, let's look at what Jesus says about the workers who serve in rebellion or in iniquity. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, not everyone said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In verse 22, he starts off with the word many. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name expelled demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then Jesus said, well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye who work iniquity. I wrestled with this for 24 hours trying to put these notes together. Because I don't want just you to get some help today. I want to get some help, too. I got to get this thing out of me. I got to get all rebellion to authority out. It's just not going to work in this business. God doesn't want that. The Word of God warns us that many workers, many, practicing competent ministries, because Jesus would have told them, like the rich young ruler, he would have told them if this was not so, he would have said, trying to do deliverance, trying to do ministry. No, he said they're going to be competent. So he warns them that it would be competent ministries in the prophetic, competent ministries expelling evil spirits and doing many wonderful works will themselves be operating under the principle of satanic rebellion, though. God's plan for each of us is to obey God. This includes being obedient to his delegated authorities. Unfortunately, there are far too many deliverance workers serving in this war that are independent of God's delegated authorities. Various ministry functions such as prophesying, expelling of evil spirits, and many wonderful works does not mean a worker is covered or undercover or qualifies them as a leader. And these signs shall follow those who believe. It doesn't qualify them as a leader. It doesn't even mean they're undercover. Well, Brother Landry, I've been doing this for 7 years, and I never thought about God. Never showed me I need to submit to nobody. We've been having major revivals in Argentina, major revivals in Mexico. Whenever I go somewhere where it's dry and the message of deliverance has never been introduced, manifestations all over the place. When I teach at home around places I'm familiar with, I have to struggle real hard to try to get one out in the whole congregation. So we work and we diligently, we search. We find in us areas that need deliverance, and we can preach it with authority because you ought to be preaching your experience. And so when you preach in your experience, it reaches out to the people. The compassion you have. So the messages I have lived or living that I'm sharing with you. Yeah. The booklets I've written are personal experiences. The first one was because I was slowful. I was too busy in other business. Had 400 some people working on me years ago. And Lord reminded me, you got all this time, but you're not doing what I asked you to do. Then the one on judging my parents, coming from a divorced family. The bastard curse, obviously rooted in that, coming from a divorced family. I was conceived out of lust. My dad went to Korea, fought in the war, and came back and married my mother. The bastard curse was under me, though. So you say they got married. It don't matter. I was conceived in lust. I was born under the bastard curse of the booklet of this road. It says, you should not write anything if you don't have a personal testimony. And if you're going to write it, make sure if it's not a personal testimony that it is scripturally sound and its application is in order to help the public from a scripture perspective. You know, that's what I mean. Well, I don't know how I got off of that for a minute. According to Scripture, many working ministries and individuals who have not repented of this treason were here. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Rebellion. It's right here. And I think we're really closely associated with these type of folks, so we have to guard ourselves, wouldn't you think? Since they're doing the very same works. So if you just look at that like, oh, that's not me, then you probably it. One of the oldest sisters in our church, she's in her 80s. Her husband was my pastor who introduced me to my pastor before he died. Years ago, we would talk, and as my custom to talk to her as one of the senior elders. And she was mentioning to me about, someone had mentioned about, I can't believe pastor just talks about authority, and submission. So anyway, I don't know what I was teaching on last Sunday, but I decided to lay the hammer down. I say, no, I don't take a salary. I love y'all. I travel every week back and forth to two churches. I say, I've never demanded anything. I say, I've done everything I can to help you. Never demanded anything of you. And if I teach on authority and you have an issue with it, then it's your issue. In Acts the 9th chapter, just a few minutes. We're going to get into some deliverance in a moment. Acts the 9th chapter. But you know, talking about authority and submitting to authority can cause some parades to be rained on. You know? But I want to always stay under the shadow of the Almighty. You know what I mean? Yeah, I want to be under His refuge. But when we come from undercover, then we open to be attacked. That umbrella of God turns into a spider web. And I think that spider web is found in, my goodness, where is that found? That Doc knows. He was teaching somewhere around it today. Isaiah 30. It talks about the false covering of the spider web. Verse 1, 2, and 3, I think. Acts the 9th chapter, verse 1, it says that, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and he desired him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any preacher not preaching deliverance, that if he found any this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came unto Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth. And he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why you persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, bare witness and experience in his within, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go unto the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Before Saul knew authority, he tried to wipe out the church. Well, we got people that's supposed to know authority trying to wipe out the church. After Paul met the Lord, he met authority on the Damascus Road. He saw that it was hard for human power to kick against God's authority. When Paul met Jesus, he immediately fell to the ground. He acknowledged Jesus as Lord. Paul had an experience with authority. It's kind of like you and I today, and many of the young people that are here for the first time, and older people that are learning about deliverance. You've had an experience with the Lord, and any man that's had an experience with the Lord is not at the mercy of another man's doctrine. So you got to know how to deal with that, because now you're free and on the road to freedom. And don't slow your freedoms up by entering into judgments against those who don't understand. Many leaders and workers working with the souls of men are in need of the same experience. As a leader and deliverance worker in God's army, we who are so self-righteous and yet so blind need once in our life to encounter God's authority. Every commissioned worker in God's army must have their own road to Damascus experience. I love to be around the body of Christ. I love to be around particularly the body of Christ that are very careful with their words. But it doesn't take long to hear those that have a rebellion character against authority soon surfacing. And so we want to be delivered from that. I would not be in the presence of those type of people. I may attend a meeting or a prayer meeting or something like that. And I do that. I don't have to be in a charge or teaching. And if this is the kind of treason that's going on, then I just gracefully won't come back. In fact, when Moses was attacked and Aaron, after the spies, came back with the evil report, when Moses was attacked because of his marriage, when Moses was attacked because of Korah, the scripture says, on all three of those instances, he fell to the face graciously. And that is the position of a true leader when they're confronted. Not, I'm the pastor, let me tell you what's going on. Also, fathers, provoke not your children. So you run up to me trying to tell me deliverance, I don't have a clue. And I tell you, listen, you out of order, sit down. You provoke me. So don't always put it on the leader. God just showed you. Maybe he'll show him in about 6 hours. Or maybe you just stopped it for 6 years because you rebuked him hard. Prayer is what brought me into the revelation of deliverance. I remember specifically getting up at 3 a.m, going down to the building we had on Magnolia Street, another little site, and I'm just seeking God's face and praying and praying. And I caught the revelation. We had been in the ministry of knowing about deliverance for 2 years, my wife and I, and I still didn't, it wasn't clear. It was like a fall paper up here. I thought I was, in other words, I'm free. I don't have no demons. But I know we got to cast them out of people. So I didn't see it. It was 3 or 4 days of prayer and fasting, and they thought maybe I lost it. A few sisters from the church went down. They got some keys went to church. They had an all-night fast. My wife said, you don't know what they're doing? I said, no. She said, they're down there praying for you. They wasn't really in authority when they did that, because they did it undermindedly, because they thought pastor had went left, you know. And I got freedom. My wife even told me, you don't need to do all that. You can stay at home and pray. Pray with me. So So, I mean, I had opposition from everywhere, but I never judged anybody. Everybody needs to have a road to Damascus experience, not a right hand of fellowship and join the choir. Once you understand the importance of cover, you're ready undercover to fight. Everything that you've gotten from the Lord, you've had to battle for it. Satan and his demons are always there and will always be there contesting you for the right to the promises of God. There are wars that are going on in Afghanistan and Iraq, and recently we had a double front war in Jerusalem. And the scriptures teach, as I said earlier, in the last days there shall be you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, and nations rising up against nation. But the real battle is against terrorism in the spirit. That's where the real battle is today. How will God's workers properly engage the real terrorism in the spirit if they're not properly under their head? In the book of Obadiah, in the Minor Prophets, let me share something with you in verse 17. Obadiah is just one book. And one. Amen. Amen. Verse 17. Amen. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. Don't we just get God just be glorified through us? We just know that He loves us so much when He starts to deliver us. Some of you people, for the first time this weekend, you've been getting some deliverance. You're just so ecstatic about it. God loves you so much. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau a stubble. And they shall kindle them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. The Lord has spoken it. Now, you might want to make some notes in your Bible. I made notes of mine on this subject. Because we find in Obadiah 17, 18, on through to 21, a prophetic message of the coming of the deliverance ministry and the restoration of God's church. Mount Zion, as you know, speaks of the church. But what about Jacob's fire? Jacob's fire, for the sake of time, I'm just going to give you the definition. Jacob's fire speaks of they will have God's word. God's church is going to have the word. Amen? Joseph's flame speaks of God's spirit. And of course, we all know Esau speaks of the flesh, right? In other words, the Lord's church will overcome the flesh and defeat the demon terrorism by his two witnesses, the word and the spirit. God has raised up deliverers to restore his kingdom. The very last verse, and saviors, and this word is translated deliverers, shall come upon Mount Zion, and they're going to judge the flesh, or judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. And I can assure you that God has not commissioned an independent group separated from the body to carry out this work. He is raising up this ministry in this hour. In Luke, the 11th chapter of Luke, I'll try to move a little faster now. In Luke, the 11th chapter, verse 20, Jesus says, but if I, with the finger of God, cast out demons, or expel demons, no doubt the kingdom of God come unto you. Now, Jesus is our authority, our example of authority that has been given to the church. And the casting out evil spirits is a demonstration of the authority of Jesus Christ. And so God has instructed us, commissioned each of us to throw them out. And we must begin at home. As members, each of you as members of God's fighting army, we have to meet His standard of commitment, accountable. Ability, authority, and responsibility in equal measure. We have to. We must. Think about our military, our soldiers abroad. They don't get R&R, time off from their military duties, 3 weeks out of four. It's not the way it works. But too often in the deliverance ministry, we just want to do it on Sundays. But what happens if somebody get attacked on Monday? We end up just being weekend warriors. So are you going to leave here as a weekend warrior? Are you going to wait and pray and seek God's face for your next deliverance and think about what God's going to do to you and how He's going to bring you to that next level of light? Or are you going to go out looking for somebody to pray for? I suggest to the younger ones, the newer ones in the Lord, ask God to show you the next step in your life. And as you're working on that, before you know it, you're going to have your friend sitting there, a neighbor or something, and they're going to be telling you something, and you'll be able to measure back to them because you have already, by the grace of God, allowed God to remove the log out of your eye. Can't mention nobody and get their mode out if you got a log in yours. So always begin on self. Just work on yourself. Don't worry about it. And the time will come, somebody will be sitting there and you'll be talking to them about Jesus and they'll start going, oh, and you'll say, oh, I know that. That's a demon. Get out. You might even get goosebumps. Because you might get startled, but you're not really fearful. You tell them, I ain't scared. Lying devil, I ain't scared. I got goosebumps, but I ain't scared. It just startled me. I didn't know she was going to go, ah. Right? So you tell the devil. I mean, I've been talking to people, and somebody right next to me go, ah. And I said, oh, man. And I get back over, I get back in the battle. I'm not ashamed. I just tell it like it is. I said, that devil startled me that time. So, it's okay to be a little uncomfortable. Remember your elder brother, Jesus Christ, if he puts you in the battle, you win.
Amen.
Also, in the end, you win.
Amen.
God is so good. In Psalms 144:1, God wants to teach your ministries how to war. It is God that wants to teach your ministries how to war, people. He wants to teach your hands how to war. Do you trust him? You've come this far. Psalms 144:1. Blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Let me tell you something about hands, about worship and praise. In God's army, the commissioned soldier of the Lord believes in the victory before they go to battle. Normally, you sing and dance after a victory. We sing and dance before the victory. So, in other words, we approach deliverance and we approach ministry of healing. That's easy. You're not doing nothing anyway. You ought to be able to do that. It's all about what Jesus is doing. Carla, when you came by with a little sister a while ago, about my prayer, what I said, when y'all were walking, I said, that's easy. That's an easy demon. It must have really rained on his parade, you know. Now, I don't laugh at demons and make mockery and all that because I don't want to raise up an accusation unnecessarily and bring havoc on my own life. But when she passed by, the Lord just put in my heart, that's easy. And so I told her, I said, that's easy. And Carla said, thank God. So we danced before the victory. Okay, well, I'm not finished yet. Just a few more minutes. Because we're in war, and we know that we're in war, and we're not fighting against flesh and blood, right? So it's not the individual, so don't get mad at the individual. Don't get angry at the person. Get angry at the demon. In other words, the scripture said we ought to hate the things God hates and love the things God loves. I think this is why it's so important that we are accountable and that we are mentored. And I thank God for the great leadership of the Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, who have labored and worked with the souls of men for a number of years. And when it's necessary, Pastor Miller has considered individuals for ordination. But that is not a recruitment, and you'll find it nowhere in the bylaws, nowhere in the paper, nowhere anywhere like that. This is me talking. And I've never heard him say anything. It's always been an afterfact. But over the last 4 or 5 years, from time to time, I have mentioned that. Because my heart is to see everyone undercover. But I'm not recruiting for Lake Hamilton. Anything like that. But that's up to the pastor here, who or who not he feels led by the Lord to receive as part of the work. There are many, many, many wonderful authority, delegated authorities throughout this country and the world. So my point being is, if you can't find an authority to submit to, you got some issues you need to deal with. That's my point, okay? And Luke, the 4th chapter, verse 18, after Jesus returns from the temptation, he goes into the synagogue and he says that that's the whole subject in itself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. So Jesus desires to set us free, but we have to also desire to be free. The Lord is not going to deliver you from your friends. So if you're at peace with your enemy, I warn you again, your enemy is not at peace with you. Now, I might cover some of those friends in a moment. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, God began to speak to the Israelites through Moses before they would go into the promised land. He gave them specific instructions in Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, that they were to remain separated and that they would be confronted by 7 nations. And he lists those 7 nations as the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Deuteronomy 7:1, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And God said they were 7 nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them, utterly destroy them. Thou shalt not make any covenant with them, nor show any mercy, no giving up, no giving in, no compromise. My high blood pressure, my this, my that, none of that. I got an issue with it, but I am believing the Lord. We're working through this thing. We're going to find out if it's generational, my sin, something I did, something happened because I agreed with somebody. We're going to find out what it is, because God's going to show me. Because I'm in His war, I'm in His battle. And He's faithful. He's always faithful. So don't make any friends with the enemy. I remember one time I had a man that had a congenital birth defect. At 6 months of birth, he had congenital birth defect that caused his hand to raise up, and he was paralyzed in his right hand. And I was teaching some elders at the ministry that day. I know I had at least three of them there standing up at the platform. And I just got a tremendous confidence in God, you know what I mean? Just like to a fool, okay? And so anyways, so I walked up there and said, okay, get Wayne up here. So he come up there like that, and I said, all right, stick out your hand. It's like that. And he stuck out his hand, and his hand started coming out, and he stuck out straight like that. I said, in the name of Jesus. And then this one guy grabbed his hand and started rubbing on it. And I looked at him like that, and then he fell on the floor. And the demon turned around and he like this and said, Lord, I got this, I got him. He had lived with it so long, he didn't believe anymore he could be free. Of course, I had to correct the brother who rubbed his hands, and I did it separated from the rest of the team. And he didn't like me after that. But I had led his son to the Lord and all his children and his wife, and after he died, they all came to the church, and I got his daughters and sons and grandchildren now. God gave Israel specific instructions before entering the promised lands of Canaan. The Canaan lands were lands flowing with milk and honey, grapes, which speaks of fruit of the Spirit. Of course, they had homes already built, and didn't the Lord say the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just? God gave Israel specific commands to remain separate from the nations, because every nation, without question, was contaminated with the occult, witchcraft, and they would have become a cancer to the camp of Israel. So God issued specific commands to be separated. God gave Israel the promised lands, however they had to possess it. And I don't suppose that those enemies that inhabited those countries was just going to lay over and let the Israelites just walk in and take their houses and take their fruit. And it's no different today. The devil don't care about you being saved. He will make your salvation as miserable as possible. And so God has blessed you with salvation, given you the Holy Spirit, so you're able to equip and be equipped in order to conquer the giants of the land. For this is a type and a shadow of the promise of the fullness of Christ thereof. And so we have received the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of Christ in us, the fullness of Christ. And so the enemy is contesting each one of you for the promise of the fullness of Christ. That's your promise.
I don't know.
God listed seven of the nations here, and just as a reference, and just as an example, so as you begin to search out the scriptures and learn about some things in your life so you can get free, it might be good to know some of the characteristics and personalities that were assigned to these nations, their names. For instance, the Hittites, its name speaks of terror. Girgashites speaks of mixture, truth and error. So if you have a problem with understanding the word, you got your own ideas, then you get corrected all the time. You say, well, I don't know, I'm trying, bro. Maybe you have one of these principalities. Or a person you're witnessing to, maybe came out of the occult, religious cult, so they got mixture. The Amorites were considered to be powerful, militant, and they loved publicity. Canaanites, as Doc has been teaching us, were rejected ones, or cowards, and are classified as bent knees. Perizzites, meant to dominate, or a self-sufficient attitude. You don't need to tell me anything. God is speaking to me by the Holy Ghost. The Hivites speaks of life-giver in a false, deceptive way. And the Jebusites speaks of the kingdom of self. The kingdom of self is one of the big issues. Because since a very child, we come into this kingdom that we ruled. Until one day, we got spanked, and the rules changed. Then we entered into the educational system, and everything was about engineered around accomplishments and promotions and achievements and separating you from the rest of the people based on your merit and based on your participation, your education, your athletic ability. The kingdom of self. And this went on and on until you got saved. And after you got saved, perhaps you thought it all left. Prayerfully, it should begin to leave. But we're talking about a nature and a character, and we have to accept the exchange life at the cross of Jesus Christ and allow Him to begin to restore us. The name of Jesus is greater than any of those nations. The name of Jesus is greater than all the terrorism in the spirit. The name of Jesus is powerful, and the demons tremble at that name. And you'd be surprised how much authority you would have undercover, under authority, when you join us interceding for the nations in war. You'd be surprised how much authority. They had a bookstore in our city a year and a half ago, and I mentioned it here, it's on one of the tapes, don't know which one, that I went into the bookstore, and the owner of the bookstore was a Orisha priest. studying the doctrines of the Orishas from the Yoruba land tribe out of the Ivory Coast of Nigeria. And I began to talk with him, and he thought I was one because I knew as much, I'm sure I knew more than he knew about his own denomination. And we just talked, and I just sort of like kind of edged it on a little bit, you know, just talking. I said, well, what do Christians buy over here? I said, oh, they buy a bunch of Egyptian stuff, mythology and stuff. I said, oh, okay. He said, well, what you want to do? I said, well, I'm trying to order a book from New York written about the Orishas. He never did get back with me. And I left out of there. I emailed Jerry McGee. I said, Jerry, need to put this on the prayer list. We're finna close down this bookstore. I got with the church. I said, we're finna close down this bookstore. I said, he makes mockery and make folly of the Christians. And so we can't have that in our city. I met the barbershop across the street about a month ago. And I asked the barber, I said, what happened to the bookstore? Say, it closed down with the storm. It's been closed down since September. I didn't even know. I'm telling you, God answers prayers. Amen. My prayer wasn't personal. It was for the people. So you have authority under authority to pray for nations. In other words, God, as an authority under authority, we pray that which is going on in the dark, the terrorism that's going on in the dark, the hideous and seditious things they're doing to destroy the people, to blow up people, let it come to light. Let the people... But you can't do that if I ask you who you are. I don't know nobody. Let's pray, Brother Andrew. Father, we just pray. Yeah, right. No man can pray in authority that's not prayerfully under authority. All right. Yeah, you might feel good. You might, that Holy Ghost bumps can dance a little bit. Might fall out and start speaking in tongues.
Well, whatever.
In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, we're trying to get you somewhere because you've been commissioned into the battle, and we got to get you out of your thinking and get you into the mind of the Lord. In Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and this is so foundational, it's so important to us. The scripture says in verse 13 that for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a baby. Now, in some aspects of the word, I'm a baby. I admit that. That's what keeps me in study, keeps me in the school, keeps me undercover, keeps me before the face of the Lord. But the scripture says, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Talk about building endurance, talking about growth, right? Boy, God wants to bring you up there, brother, so you can be able to discern good from evil. But let me just say this, that the commissioned soldiers of the Lord should be at a level of maturity where we not only can discern good from evil, discern good from good. What I'm trying to say is there are many good works out there that can distract you. And you're going to be recruited and sidetracked intentionally and not even know it by real good works because you've been called to be a soldier. I'm telling you, the devil knows who you are. You marked. He sees the mark that God's placed on you. Not his mark. Come on now. So he's going to mark out certain organizations that probably something that you feel like you probably could do to distract you. That doesn't mean you can't spend your time doing other things because deliverance ain't everything. I mean, you can't crucify a demon and you can't cast out the flesh and you got other things going on in the ministry and it's just part of the full work. It's just that sometimes we find ourselves consumed in it because people need it, right? But then from time to time, God gives us time to study, to show our proof, self-approved in other areas of the word, right? Okay, so while you're digging and studying, you're getting some deliverance also. As you measure or mentor, as you minister deliverance to others, you're also going to receive, you should receive the same deliverance because you're going to be ministering out of compassion.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.